Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on Wednesday, July 30th, 2014. My name is Walt Stickle and I will be your host for the next 45 minutes. I would like to plant a seed with this scripture that we might build on through this broadcast. 2 Timothy Chapter 3, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is going to be a series of broadcasts on the Catholic Founding Fathers, the Carroll family, and 1776. Now, there are a lot of people who hear the truth but cannot endure it. The truth, because it requires belief. They believe but cannot repent, because it requires them to see their error. Believe, repent, and rest in the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is going to be a forerunner of a series I will be doing on a later date, the Media and Ignatius Loyola's Spiritual Exercises. How do spiritual exercises control both the mass media, the alternative media, Bible colleges, seminaries, and universities? Mass media and the alternative media work together to keep you busy so you won't see who's behind the curtain pulling the strings. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to share a little quote from Martin Luther out of Rulers of Evil, page 41, author is Tupper Saucy. Martin Luther, seeing that learning against learning was the future of Christianity, voiced an appeal to the ruling class, in which he wrote rather prophetically. Now listen to these words of Martin Luther. Though our children live in the midst of a Christian world, they faint and perish in misery because they lack the gospel, in which we should be training and exercising them all the time. I advise no one to place his child where the scriptures do not reign paramount. Schools will become wide open gates of hell if they do not diligently engrave the holy scriptures on your hearts. Every institution where the men are not increasingly occupied with the word of God must become corrupt. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, in 1776, it was a pivotal year in history. If you don't understand 1776, you will not be living in reality in 2014. History flows like a river, and the river will connect the dots. Americans have no history prior to 1776, and in reality, history has been taken away from the world. I am 70 years old, and when I started researching in 1992, I would say and share with friends, you know, the 200 years prior to 1776 is like a black hole in history. It is like life started in 1776, and most Americans have been raised in this glass bubble. The cry of an American was freedom, and we were raised thinking we were born in the land of the free and the brave. What were we free of? We'll answer this later on in this series, the Catholic Founding Fathers, the Carrolls, 1776. Now let's talk about ignorance. This is a quote from Foreign Conspiracy Against the Liberties of the United States by Samuel Morse, 1835, the inventor of the Morse Code. The food of popery is ignorance. Ignorance is the mother of papal devotion. Ignorance is the legitimate prey of popery. Ignorance, the condition of being uneducated, unaware, or uninformed. Most people, including ourselves, live in a world of relative ignorance. We are even comfortable with that ignorance, because it is all we know. When we first start facing truth, the process may be frightening, and many people run back to their old lives. But if you continue to seek truth, you will eventually be able to handle it better. In fact, you want more. It's true that many people around you now may think you are weird or even a danger to society, but you don't care. Once you've tasted the truth, you won't ever want to go back to being ignorant. Let's go forward. Now, let's all be honest and let me ask some questions pertaining to prior to 1776. The below 16 questions are never discussed on the mass media or alternative media. All these questions will be on the preface of this broadcast on Blog Talk. Number 1, who was Charles Carroll? Number 2, who was John Carroll? Number 3, who was Daniel Carroll? Number 4, who was Bloody Mary? The Bloody Mary drink is named after her. 5, who was Mary, Queen of Scots? 6, what queen was known as the Virgin Queen? 7, who was the mother of King James I, the king which the name of the King James Bible is named? 8, who was behind and what was the purpose of the gunpowder plot of 1605? Who was behind and what was the purpose of the unheard-of Spanish Armada in 1587? The unheard-of Spanish Armada. Number 10. During the English War between 1642 to 1651, what was the name of the king who was executed for being a tyrannical king? 11. Who was behind the intent and the reason for the Glorious Revolution of 1688? Number 12. What did the Declaration of Indulgence want to give England? In 1687, what did the Declaration of Independence in 1776 give America after the dust cleared? 13. We are taught about the landing of the Pilgrims and the Mayflower ship. Who was behind and the purpose of the landing of the Ark and the Dove in 1634? 14. Who is the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., named after? 15. Of the original 13 colonies, which one was Catholic? 16. When were the Jesuits founded and for what purpose? Now, why is this broadcast so different from the two sources of media, mass media and alternative media? Because you will never get the answers to these 16 questions. They are gatekeepers to Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises. It isn't what the mass media and alternative media are saying, it is what they are leaving out. You will never find the answers to the above questions. Why? It is called deception by omission. Our media today is not reporting news, they write the news. But after you listen to this series, we will have the answers to all of the above 16 questions. Now the 16 questions will be answered with the series of the broadcast, The Catholic Founding Fathers, Carroll Family, and 1776. Be honest with yourself and give yourself a test. How many of the 16 questions did you get right? Now let me be honest with you. Let me be really honest with you. I am 70 years old and 4 years ago I would have missed all 16 questions. Now understand, in Catholic circles, they would know these elementary questions of English history prior to 1776. Why is it that the citizens and Protestants of this country do not know this history? Why is it we have not been taught this in our public schools? That is the aim of this broadcast, is to answer all these questions. Now before I start this series, The Catholic Founding Fathers, Carroll Family, and 1776, let's make it clear my position and aim. I am a Bible-believing Christian. I understand the historical evidence that is available and the history of Romanism and its part in the Inquisition. and how the Reformation brought forth the Bible and brought us out of the Dark Ages. Yes, it was the Bible that brought us out of the Dark Ages. Please understand, whether you believe the Bible or not, the little freedom we have today is because of the cross. Isn't it interesting how the Bible has been under so much attack and how little it is read today? And it's the very reason for the liberty we have in Christ from 1776 to 2014. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The liberty we have shared since 1776 comes only from Christ who has made us free. It does not come from the freedom of the Constitution. You see, the Constitution gave us freedom from God. We can use our own reasoning, which is the God of the Freemasons. The Constitution enables us to all to have freedom of religion and choice to choose good or evil. And that is what we have, freedom to worship any God. Christ tells us not to entangle again with the yoke of bondage. I think it is a fair question. Since we have freedom of religion, which God does this government serve? This is a very important part of the puzzle. Please note, the word Catholic is a Latin word. It means universal. Now in Freemasonry, they also believe in universalism. You can bring any God to the lodge and be a Freemason. Let me borrow a quote from The Magic of Obelisk by Peter Tompkins, chapter 5. Quote, whether or not the idea for a union of the colonies originated among the colonial Freemasons, it was certainly achieved through their leadership. End of quote. What he just said is, the American Revolution was achieved by the Freemasons, which also believed in universalism. Now, America has a universal government. The First Amendment assures us freedom of religion. It reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The First Amendment assures no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, no place in the Constitution does it protest any religion. The Constitution assures all religions to have equal footing. We got Protestant principles with the Bill of Rights, but remember, we just got principles, and the law of the land, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights does not protect or defend Protestants. Remember how it reads, no law respecting establishment of religion. This assured the Catholics that they had equal footing, and the protest was over in civil and religious matters. The Constitution gave us a universal government. It could be said, using the Latin word Catholic, that America has a Catholic government by definition. Let us not forget that prior to 1776, there was less than 1% of America was Catholic. 99% were Protestants. Now the Catholic founding fathers before 1776 had no civil or religious liberties. It was written right in the state constitutions prior to 1776 that you had to be a Protestant to have civil and religious liberties. Now, after the Declaration of Independence, 1% of America were given the same rights as the 99%, which were Protestants. Bill Cooper had a saying, quote, if you want to know who is behind an event, who benefited, end of quote. Now let's ask the question, who benefited from the American Revolution? What did the Protestants gain from the American Revolution, and what did the Catholics gain? Why would the Protestants want to support the American Revolution and give up their right to govern in civil and religious liberties. Now, I'm just asking questions. Stop and think of these questions. Each one of us has to connect the dots. Remember, our decisions are only as good as the information we receive. Again, who benefited from the American Revolution? Again, the American Revolution was not fought over tea and taxes. It was about religion. Now let's ask the question again. Who benefited from the American Revolution? The Protestants or the Catholics? Now the article I want to read comes from a direct descendant. Charles Carroll Carter is the Board of Trustees of the Charles Carroll House of Annapolis, Maryland, the birthplace of Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He is a direct descendant of Daniel Carroll of Rock Creek. Please, let's clear our minds and let's just look at the history of the Catholic Founding Fathers, the Carroll family, in 1776. The article I want to share comes from a Catholic point of view. This is not Catholic bashing. If we do not know the Roman Catholic part of the American Revolution, we will never understand the motive of the American Revolution and who fomented it. This comes off the Catholic Educational Resource Center website. Also, you can find the source material on my website at granddesignexposed.com. There is a button entitled Catholic Founding Fathers. Understand, all of the material I am using is up on my website. Now let's get started with the article. Catholic Founding Fathers, the Carrolls. Again, I want you to remind you that this is an article, and I'm reading an article off of a Catholic website by Charles Carroll Carter. The article begins, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, Patrick Henry, Benjamin Franklin, nearly every school child recognizes them as the Founding Fathers. But there were a great many more Founding Fathers. Even their names are not so familiar as the above. Several of these lesser-known men who played key roles in the creation of the United States of America were Catholics. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, Patrick Henry, Benjamin Franklin, nearly every school child recognizes them as the Founding Fathers. Signers of the Declaration of Independence, framers of the Constitution, heroes of the Revolutionary War. There were a great many more founding fathers, however, even their names are not so familiar as the above. Several of these lesser-known men who played key roles in the creation of the United States of America were Catholics. Chief among them were the three members of the Carroll family of Maryland. Charles Carroll, the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence, his cousin Daniel Carroll, and Daniel Carroll's brother John Carroll, who became America's first Catholic bishop. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, 1737 to 1832, was the most illustrious and best known of the Carrolls. He was the only signer whose property, Carrollton, was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. Carrollton was the 10,000-acre estate in Frederick County, Maryland, that Charles Carroll's father had given him on his return to America from his education in Europe. Let's don't skip over. He was given 10,000-acre estate when he returned as a young man of 26 or 27. Now, at the time he signed the Declaration, it was against the law for Catholics to hold public office. It was against the law for a Catholic to hold public office or to vote. Although, although Maryland was founded by and for Catholics in 1634 and 1649, later in 1689 after the Glorious Revolution, placed severe restrictions on Catholics in England. The laws were changed in Maryland, and Catholicism was repressed. Again, how many people realize in America we know no history prior to 1776? The Roman Catholic Church, it was against the law for Catholics to hold public office or to vote. And I might add, it was against the law to say Mass in public or build cathedrals. Back to the article now. Catholics could no longer hold office, exercise the franchise, educate their children in their faith, or worship in public. With the Declaration of Independence, all this bias and restricted ended. Charles Carroll first became known in colonial politics through his defense of freedom of conscience and his belief that the power to govern derived by the consent of the governed. He was a staunch supporter of Washington. I might want to stop right here and say he was a staunch supporter of Washington. He was a neighbor. Washington was a neighbor. He even went on a business venture in some kind of a real estate surveying. I can't tell you the exact business, but they were together on a business venture. They were very good friends. And when the war was going badly at Valley Forge, he was instrumental in persuading the Revolution's Board of War not to replace Washington with General Horatio Gates. I might stop right here and say, now this is my comments. There was five people on the Board of War. And guess what? Charles Carroll was one of them. He was supplying cannonballs and ammunition. Carroll supported the war with his own private funds. Stop. Let's stop. I didn't say that. That's on this article. Carroll supported the war with his own private funds. He was widely regarded as the wealthiest of all the colonies. With the most to lose were the fight for independence to fail. Carroll was greatly acclaimed in later life, and he outlived all other signers of the Declaration. Now, let's go back and look at what was said there. Carroll's support of the war with his own private funds. He was widely regarded as the wealthiest of all the colonies. He was the wealthiest. He had over 400 slaves. The Dorrigor Manor is still there today and is still owned by Carroll's. He was the wealthiest of all the colonies. He helped finance the American Revolution. You know, you have to follow the money. Who benefited? Now, let's all ask ourselves, did Charles Carroll benefit? He had 10,000 acres, but he had to tiptoe and walk very lightly because of the Glorious Revolution, and it was still a Protestant country. Every single state with their constitution had a stipulation, and I read it. They had a stipulation that you had to be Protestant to hold office. What did he have to gain by supporting the American Revolution? What did the Protestants gain? And what did Charles Carroll gain by the American Revolution? There's a saying I heard from Bill Cooper. If you want to know who's behind something, who benefited from the American Revolution? Who benefited? Was it the Protestants or was it Catholicism? The American Revolution, let no man deceive you. The American Revolution was not over tea and taxes. It was over religious liberty. A liberty to give the Catholic the right of civil liberties and religious freedom. Before the Revolution, they had none. After the Revolution, they had it all. Now let's go to this, another paragraph in the article. Daniel Carroll of Rock Creek, 1730 to 1796, was a member of the Continental Congress, 1781 to 1783, and a signer of the Articles of Confederation. He was a delegate to the Constitution, to the Constitutional Convention, and one of only two Catholic signers of the United States Constitution. The other Catholic signer was Thomas Fitzsimmons of Pennsylvania. At the Constitutional Convention, Daniel Carroll played an essential role in formulating the limitation of the powers of the federal government. He was the author of presumption enshrined in the Constitution that powers not specifically delegated to the federal government were reserved to the states or to the people. Daniel Carroll later became a member of the first United States Congress in 1789 to 1791. He was also a member of the first Senate of Maryland, where he served up to the time of his death. He was appointed by Washington as one of the first three commissioners to the new federal city that is now known as the District of Columbia. In today's terminology, he would have been considered the mayor of Washington, D.C. John Carroll, 1735 to 1815, Daniel Carroll's younger brother, was educated in Europe, joined the Jesuit order, and was ordained a priest. He founded a private school for boys and named it after the town where it was located, Georgetown, a port on the Potomac River that later became part of Washington, D.C. He went on to be elected by the Catholics priests in America. To become America's first Catholic bishop, he later became Archbishop of Baltimore. In any procession of American bishops, the Archbishop of Baltimore always goes last in recognition of its role as America's oldest diocese. In 1789, John Carroll founded the college in Georgetown that later became known as Georgetown University. You understand, these are my comments. It was Jesuit John Carroll. I might add that all three Carrolls went overseas. Daniel and John, or Daniel and Charles, got 12 to 14 years of Jesuit education. John Carroll got 26. Next paragraph in the article. During a period when the Revolutionary War was going badly, Washington asked John Carroll to join a mission to Canada to seek the support of the French for the colonies. Franklin, Samuel Chase, and Charles Carroll of Carrollton were the others in the four-man mission. While it failed, it established a relationship with the French. Much influenced by the Catholic faith they held in common with the Carrolls, it bore fruit years later at Yorktown, where the largely Catholic-financed French fleet cut off supplies to British General Charles Cornwallis, and Washington was able to force Cornwallis to surrender and bring the war to an end. Let's repeat a little bit on that last sentence. Let's go over it. Where the largely Catholic-financed French fleet cut off supplies to British Charles Cornwallis. The Navy of the American Revolution was Catholic-financed French fleet. Also, I want to comment, John Carroll, Benjamin Franklin, when they traveled to Canada, Benjamin Franklin took ill, and John Carroll took care of him for 6 months. John Carroll and Benjamin Franklin were bosom buddies. Benjamin Franklin also made a trip to France, and he made trips to England. He's the one that met Thomas Paine and brought Thomas Paine over because he had the press. And if it wasn't for Benjamin Franklin's press, Thomas Paine's pen would be null and void. So let's go to the next paragraph here. John Carroll was intimate of Washington. He wrote a prayer at the time of Washington's inauguration asking God's blessing on the President, Congress, and government of the United States, a prayer still very much in use today. Out of gratitude for John Carroll's support during the war, Washington gave a modified version of the seal of the United States to the institution that is now Georgetown University, and that seal is still in use. And when you go up on the internet and come to this, go to granddesignexposed.com and click on the Catholic Founding Fathers and come to this page, you will see the two seals, both in 1789. You know, it might be said that John Carroll gave the seal to Washington. Doesn't matter who gave who, they both look alike. Now, in the closing paragraph of this article is very, very interesting. Let us read it now. Despite their enormous contributions to the American founding, the three Carrolls somehow fell below the radar screen of recognition as full-fledged founding fathers. Perhaps that was because they were Catholics in a country and a culture that for many years was overwhelmingly Protestant. The reason why no public school, you could ask any public school student graduating in a public school and they wouldn't know Charles Carroll, John Carroll, or Daniel Carroll. But oh, they know all about George Washington and the cherry tree. Now why is it that I'm 70 years old and I didn't hear of any of these three men until I was 65? Let me go further, too. There are some Jesuit coadjutors out here. Then there's one, don't need to name any names. It doesn't, the point I'm trying to make, I don't need a name. I'm talking about his message. I'm not interested in the messenger. But this man has wrote a book, 896 pages. 896 pages, over 700 photos. And guess what? He leaves out the Carrolls. What's going on? They're covering up. Somehow they fell below the radar. This man is a Jesuit coadjutor. He also tells and preaches that all revolutions are from the Jesuits, except one. And that's the American Revolution. No, brothers and sisters. The Jesuits fomented the American Revolution. They were suppressed in 1773, and they resurfaced as the Illuminati in 1776. Now, all they wanted is freedom of religion. All they wanted was a foot in the door. And I want to say one other thing, too. As soon as the Declaration of Independence was signed, they had religious liberty. In the early Congress, they said Mass four times. If you hear people trying to say that the United States, the first 13 years that were Protestant, it's just not true. And we're going to get into this as time goes on. We're going to get into the Declaration of Indulgence and the relationship it has with the Declaration of Independence. Now we're going to go, I have also on this page, I have three articles on Charles Carroll, Daniel Carroll, and John Carroll from the book, The Grand Design Exposed. So the first person that we're going to talk about is Charles Carroll. This next part of the broadcast is going to be read out of the book, The Grand Design Exposed, chapter 16, The Birth of America, Orchestrated and Celebrated by the Church of Rome. And we're going to read about Charles Carroll, the Flaming Patriot, on page 326. I'm going to have my brother in Christ in Belgium read this first paragraph, because there's a French name, and my friend York Glesman of Belgium can say it much clearer, and he's not suffering from an American public school education. So I was unable to pronounce the words. So here is York Glesman of Belgium.
John Carroll's Jesuit education had prepared him for the work of expanding the triumphal Roman Catholic spiritual affairs in America. But to procure that triumph, it was to his cousin, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, who had been Jesuit educated, groomed, and peculiarly fitted to play a part in the American Revolution's political affairs. The broad and thorough educational training that Charles Carroll received, both in France and England, made him the most educated and cultured man in the colonies during the time of the American Revolution. In France, he had met many political dignitaries that, as soon as rebellion began, would be such valuable assistance to the American independence cause. One such man was the French Secretary of Foreign Affairs, the Comte de Vergennes. In England, he learned English constitutional history and law, and attended frequently the sessions of the Parliament, and heard many of the debates on questions of American colony policy. He made the acquaintance and was a guest at the house of Edmund Burke, a fellow Irishman and British statesman, who so eloquently advocated independence for the American colonies.
And thanks kindly, York, for helping me out in reading that paragraph. Now, to the next paragraph. Once back in America, Charles Carroll immediately plunged into politics, being elected to Maryland's conventions and committees, distinguishing himself by aggressive defending the American independence position taken by the colonies. Through his comprehensive education, tremendous wealth, and his ability as a debater and a scholar, he exerted much power to sway opinions his way. He gained the reputation to be Maryland's first citizen, and established himself, as one author described it, as a flaming patriot. Matter of fact, if you do a flaming patriot Charles Carroll Google search, you can read about Charles Carroll. Charles Carroll was a member of the Maryland Convention of 1775, which adopted the Association of the Freemen of Maryland. The association was pledged to armed resistance to Great Britain. We have already mentioned the Continental Congress appointment of Charles Carroll and his cousin John Carroll as a committee, with Samuel Chase of Maryland and Benjamin Franklin to visit Canada to secure the alliance of the Canadians in the struggle for independence. The committee was clothed with almost absolute power over military affairs in that country. Upon returning to Maryland after his trip to Canada, Charles Carroll was chagrined to find that the Tory faction has succeeded in having a resolution adopted that declared a reunion with Great Britain on constitutional principles would most effectually secure the rights and liberties and increase the strength and promote the happiness of the whole empire. Yes, the Tory faction, they're referring to the loyalists, the people that were loyal to Great Britain. Further, the resolution prohibited the Maryland delegates to the Continental Congress favoring any movement for independence, Charles Carroll, and with others who shared his view, set in motion the process to recall the instructions given to the delegates while he was away and reverse them, which in essence was Maryland's Declaration of Independence. This was the work of Charles Carroll. Again, this was the work of Charles Carroll, and as a reward, he was immediately elected a delegate from Maryland to the Continental Congress. On the 4th of July, 1776, the Congress of the United States Colonies met at Philadelphia, adopted the Declaration of Independence. Charles Carroll took his seat in Congress, July 18th. And the day after, the Committee of Congress appointed him to the Board of War that consisted of five other members. This board was entrusted with the executive duties of the military department. It was empowered to forward dispatches from the Congress to the armies of the field and to the colonies, to manage the raising, equipping, and dispatching of the armed forces, and to have a charge of all military provisions. It was the War Department of the new government. It was not until the 2nd of August, 1776, that the Declaration of Independence was signed, and Charles Carroll of Carrollton was among the 56 signers. Charles Carroll's vigorous involvement supporting the Revolution kept him an extremely busy man. He was forever on committees and back and forth to Maryland and the Continental Congress. There was a new Maryland Constitution to be adopted, a committee of five to devise ways and means to promote the manufacture of saltpeter. There were constant communications and correspondence to the Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, to France, to Benjamin Franklin while he was an American envoy in France, and numerous letters to others. He was on a committee that gave his support and aid to Robert Morris in organizing the Bank of North America that was to set the government on a sound financial basis. Carroll, with other wealthy men, including Washington, sent ready cash to Morris to assure that the bank would be a success. And remember, Charles Carroll was the wealthiest man in the colonies. It is known that George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Arthur Lee all strongly favored sending Charles Carroll to France to open negotiations for a French alliance. This is a quote from Charles Carroll. Listen closely. "I am the one man that must be kept entirely in the background. It must not be known to a single soul that I am personally active in this matter." End of quote. Charles Carroll is quoted as saying, "Without Carroll's aid, the alliance could not have been brought about." Charles Carroll was even seriously considered for the presidency after George Washington's first term, if Washington had not have consented to a second one. After the surrender at Yorktown, the French troops camped at Baltimore on the very ground now occupied by the Catholic cathedral that John Carroll began to erect before his death, and celebrated a solemn mass of thanksgiving. And when the Treaty of Peace was finally signed in Paris in 1783, Congress was sitting temporarily at Annapolis, Maryland. George Washington came there to submit to Congress his resignation as Commander-in-Chief. But for the celebration to commemorate the peace and final victory, festivities were held at Carroll's Green on the Carroll Estate. These few examples show us clearly that there was another side to the American Revolution, a shadowy and a quiet but definitely a strong Roman Catholic influence, the Carroll side. And history has purposely passed it over, while Protestants are in too great a stupor to fathom it, perhaps as the greatest commendation that could be given for the work of this book is that it might inspire someone else having facilities for a greater research than what this author had to bring to light more valuable information on the vague subject. However, we have looked at Charles Carroll's role during the American Revolution, but it is Daniel Carroll's role that is surprising because he is the link that connects it all together. We've run out of time. That ends the broadcast. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
I got a poor starting life, heading downhill real fast. Can't see the future, ain't recalling the past. I'm at the crossroad of life, stuck on the tracks.